On today's program, we're going to have Charles Simpson. Charles Simpson is an internationally known author, Bible teacher, and pastor, serving in ministry since 1955. His humor and storytelling often carry a deeper message that is prophetic in its timelessness. Born in New Orleans in 1937, Brother Charles grew up as a son of a Baptist pastor in the bayous of Louisiana and then later in southern Alabama. He responded to God's call in his life to go into ministry in 1955 at the age of 18. And 2 years later, he became a pastor of a Southern Baptist church in Mobile, Alabama. Brother Charles completed his bachelor's degree at William Carey College in Hattiesburg, Mississippi in 1959 and attended the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. Now, listen to this. In 1964, he experienced a profound personal spiritual renewal and began traveling, teaching to churches worldwide, and became widely recognized as a pioneer in the modern charismatic renewal movement. Charles Simpson became part of the inaugural issue of New Wine Magazine, an international publication dedicated to Christian growth in 1969. During the 17 years, Charles wrote and served alongside other notable Bible teachers on the board of New Wine, including Don Basham, Ern Baxter, Bob Mumford, and Derek Prince. Well, Brother Charles and a team of pastors founded Covenant Church in Mobile in 1973 based on an organic home cell group centered making disciples for Jesus Christ and extended Christ's kingdom around the world. In 1985, out of a strong ongoing emphasis on praise and worship, New Wine gave birth to Integrity Media, which became the largest praise and worship music company in the world, led by Michael Coleman. Brother Charles served as Integrity's board member from 1985 to 2011 until Integrity Media was actually sold to the David Cook Seed Company. Charles Simpson is the author of numerous books, including Courageous Living, The Challenge to Care, Ants, Vines, and Churches, and Straight Answers to 21 Honest Questions About Prayer. And now, my interview with Charles Simpson. Let's go there.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Perry Stone, you know, said recently in Utah that we're right in the middle of just rapid prophetic fulfillment. And I think it's something to the fact was, it's the ones who do what you say. It's the ones who buckle down, who focus, who pay attention, that don't go with the chaos, are the ones that will succeed through this. But this whole thing will just...
That's right.
I mean, it's just coming at you so fast. And most people just kind of just get in a boat and let it float down this river. But as Christians, you know, that's why I think it's going to break us out of this traditional mold. It's like, we're going to die in that. We got to live. And that, you know, and that it's, I think, I've seen him, Lord just showed me some of the future things. I'm a dreamer. He just gives me just detailed prophetic dreams. And there's gonna be a lot of people that are just like robots. They're just gonna go about their day, and you can wave your hand in front of their face. They're just, that's but right. In the middle of that, it's gonna be Christians who that's are not right. caught up in that, that literally we could, you know, become the hunted because we are the non-flowing, you know, almost like China, what happens to the church in China. It was said of Kim Jong-un, North Korea, that he fears a Christian more than he does nuclear weapons. It'd be powerful if the church understood the power that
Absolutely.
God is giving us, you know.
I tell people, you don't have to be afraid of the world. The world's scared to death of you.
Yeah,
go figure. If you only understood, you make them nervous.
Yeah.
Just get on an elevator and say Jesus and see what happens. They'll try to get off between floors.
Isn't
you know, people
wild?
Are scared to death of God.
Right.
And if you're not afraid, you can have a great impact.
Yeah. you know, and it's like, for some reason, this the one particular word that God defines us as that just probably throws off the church, he calls us believers.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is like, what do we believe? Does he do all these miracles amongst us because we've got some law we're following, some organization we're following, or do we actually believe? He says, you know, Jehoshaphat believed and God established him, but he didn't believe the prophets until he almost died by getting in a covenant with Ahab. He had to deny his covenant with Ahab by going, I'm not Ahab. Remember, he almost died. He gets back home. God allows this huge army to come against him. He cries out this time for a prophet. He called for prophets earlier, but there's like a religious experiment. He heard the truth, didn't listen to it. Now he hears, he says, let's hear the word of the Lord. We're about to die, right? And he says, you know, believe the Lord and you'll be established.
Right.
And believe the prophet.
Right.
And you will succeed. I think we have so many things being established, you know, that don't make it. It's because we quit listening to the Spirit of God and his prophetic word, because he's the one that actually will drive and lead the thing that just got established. Like, Jehoshaphat was a king. He was established by God. You know, he's pretty confident in his establishment. But he did not, even though he was religious, he called in the prophets. It was like a smorgasbord. Okay, whatever. And he goes out there when God said, plain as day, that Ahab's going to die.
Right.
He still went out there in full garb as king, while Ahab's undercover. He was so blinded by it. But I just really see that I'm watching people who just work so hard for God, but they're not listening to anything he says.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Oh, we've all been there.
Yeah, that's true.
And it takes a while to wake up. But I believe that we're in a critical time. Mm-hmm. We don't have to be afraid, but we have to be vigilant. We have to be alert. We've got to listen to the Holy Spirit. He's the only one that knows exactly where it's going. But I believe that we're on the verge of seeing some really big shakeups, and I'm excited about the time I live in. I believe we're born for such a time as this. I don't want to get ahead of God. I just want to follow close as I know how, and hear what he's got to say. Every truth gets abused. Mm. It's human nature. I don't care what you teach from the Bible, somebody's going to take it someplace God didn't intend it. So we have to allow the Holy Spirit to help us to understand how to apply the Scripture. It's not just on our own thrashing around.
True.
But I think sensitivity, precision, when you're being guided in an area you've never been in, it makes sense to stay close to the guide.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit is our guide. It's not about doing what we've learned to do only. Mm-hmm. We can learn to follow the truth. We can learn wisdom. We can learn a lot of things. But that won't take you into the future without the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And we need the Holy Spirit. He will guide.
And you don't want to show up doing the Lord's work on the cutting edge without Holy Spirit.
No, you don't.
Even Steve Hill during a revival at Brownsville, Assembly of God, the Lord came down and says, you're getting ahead of the tanks. You're getting ahead of things. Because you're wanting to push, you're wanting to get the harvest.
Right.
But he told him to just throttle back just a little bit because he was getting ahead of what God was doing. And he was doing an awesome thing.
Right. I agree. And you let the momentum take you where you really don't want to go. Been there, done that.
Yeah.
And people get excited, and enthusiasm can take you beyond the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah. Been there, died there, and been accused there. It's like, it was your idea, you know, right?
Right.
Oh, I don't remember that part.
We'll be right back.
The difference between God as a concept and God as a living reality is that a concept is something you believe in. You certainly believe in it, but it's like an accessory. It's like a credit card. It's a gym membership. I control it, and I shape it to meet my life and my needs, right? So I'm still in control. But God as a living reality is an objective truth to which you mold your life to.
Right.
And that was a big difference, and that set a lot of things in motion, especially understanding a new understanding of the Ten Commandments.
Hey, I want to invite you to VFN Dream Center Church. Listen, we love family. We're focused around reaching the world But most of all, we just want to be able to honor God and connect with people who want to honor God. Are you looking for a family? Are you looking for a church family? You're looking to be a part of somebody who understands the Great Commission is for us to reach the world. Well, we're doing it, and maybe you're supposed to be a part of it. As a matter of fact, you can join us this Sunday at 10:30 a.m., actually 10:15 a.m., at 6500 Pensacola Boulevard in Pensacola, Florida. You can even join us online at VineFellowshipNetwork.org. Listen, we're reaching the world together with the VFN Dream Center Church. We'd love to have you.
You know, a lot of people want to abide with the Lord, but they just don't have a plan to do it. You can request that plan today at iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, in your book, you also talk about, you know, the Millennium Matrix. The author, Rex Miller, points out that technology changes produced sociological change. That he described how when society moves from oral to written communication, when it moved from print to radio, from radio to television, and analog to digital, society changes soon happened. The world became smaller and more connected. Thomas Friedman, the book The World is Flat, which I read because of you too, offers a similar theme. He says that the discovery of a round world was sponsored by the state. Globalization of the world was again flattened, and the playing field was flattened, and the world got smaller, so the individual everywhere could participate with individuals everywhere. These individuals can not only interact, but create ideas and exchange those ideas. So digitalization is an individualization that stresses and redefines all kinds of structure. Well, it's the corporations that brought in globalism that's happening right now. So we've progressed to all this technology. We're here now. How is it changing? I mean, we've been talking about how it's changing society, but how is it changing the church? Because we have, you know, this still the issue of just following what God says, and we have all this technology happening. We're still not being the church in the midst. We got more tools and more techniques and more methodologies and apps for this. We have an app for that and websites and whatever. But it's like in the midst of that, being the church, how does that change the society of the church with all this technology?
Well, I think the more the church tries to reach the world by worldly methods, the more off track we get. Mm. There are two things that are very important to me. One is the integrity of the individual. The second thing is collaborating with individuals of integrity. Excuse me. Because integrity really means the ability to integrate. If a thing doesn't have integrity, it isolates. If it has integrity, or if it's whole, it can integrate. So one thing Rex Miller has talked a lot about in his books is collaboration. Paul calls it co-laboring.
Yes. Right.
And so if I have integrity, I don't isolate myself.
Right.
But I look for other individuals with integrity and realize that I don't have the whole picture. Mm-hmm. But as I collaborate with other people who have been integrity, the Lord reveals himself. He speaks to us, mm-hmm. because he loves fellowship in groups. Derek Prince brought a message, the purposes of God are born in fellowship. Mm-hmm. It's a great message and a great truth. Jesus fellowshipped his disciples, and revelation came in the context of fellowship. Not meetings, mm-hmm. fellowship. Collaboration is not listening to a speaker. We're set up that way in education, churches, a lot of businesses where you got one guy up here and you got a group out there.
Right.
That's changing.
Yeah.
It's now we're sitting together. Mm-hmm. We're hearing each other. We got to learn to listen, mm-hmm. and impart to one another so that something comes out of that that's bigger than any individual. So if you don't have integrity, you're not going to function in that.
We'll be right back.
Did you know that Jesus himself said, apart from abiding in him, that we can accomplish nothing? So many people want to be able to do that, but you know what? They don't have a plan to do it. We put together a simple plan for you, and it's at iabide.org. iabide.org. Go there and request your plan today. It is amazing how your life will change when you begin to spend time with him who created the universe. He's been desiring that you would do that. It's at iabide.org. Request your simple plan today.
Hey, I want to invite you to VFN Dream Center Church. Listen, we love family. We're focused around reaching the world. But most of all, we just want to be able to honor God and connect with people who want to honor God. Are you looking for a family? Are you looking for a church family? You're looking to be a part of somebody who understands the Great Commission is for us to reach the world. Well, we're doing it, and maybe you're supposed to be a part of it. As a matter of fact, you can join us this Sunday at 10:30 a.m., actually 10:15 a.m., at 6500 Pensacola Boulevard in Pensacola, Florida. You can even join us online at VineFellowshipNetwork.org. Listen, we're reaching the world together with the VFN Dream Center Church. We'd love to have you.
How do I love my enemy?
I think that love begins with the common human experience that we all have. And I think that the loving your enemy gets down to the basic human issues: air, water, lights, food, family, basic human essentials. At least let's love on the level that we exist, and then debate on the level that we think. But we have lost all respect and civility. And I think that it comes back to just respecting people because God made them. Mm-hmm. And how can you say you love God who you have not seen?
Right.
And hate that is a reflection that he created. You cannot worship him up there while you resent him right here.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So if you don't have integrity, you're not going to function in that.
So how do you identify? I mean, you're looking at a man or a woman and you're seeing integrity. What do you see that says integrity?
I think there's a resonation. You resonate with a person like that, a witness of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And then you observe if a person like that is consistent, if they keep their word.
If they're not isolated, I guess.
They're not isolated. You look at what's around them. Do they show health around them? Mm-hmm. Those are all things. But I think there's sometimes you might meet a person right out in the world, you don't know anything about them, you can resonate with them.
Right.
Now, if your motives are wrong, you're going to get the wrong message.
Right.
If your heart is pure before God, I believe you'll get the right message. That is, this is a person that I want to know better. Mm-hmm. If your motives are wrong, you'll get in trouble when you get to know them better.
Well, Pastor John Kilpatrick said people will call him up and say, I want to know everything about revival. Can you meet with me? And so he takes time to meet, that's why their time to me is so valuable right now. And they don't listen. They just talked the whole time, and they didn't even listen to what, they had a whole opportunity.
Sure.
To listen, but they just talked the whole time. They didn't.
I had a friend of mine. I recommended him to go to a person to be coached. Mm-hmm. Who's a very successful person. Mm-hmm. And this is a friend, excuse me, mm-hmm. Both are friends. But one guy wants to go somewhere, and so I said, talk to this guy and mm-hmm. let him coach you.
Right, right.
Well, what they did was they had a conversation that was pretty much one-sided. My friend that was going to be the coach, he said, well, he talked to me for an hour. I mean, when right. the coach invites me to on the field to be in a game, I don't talk to him for an hour.
Right.
I don't talk to him 5 minutes.
Yeah.
In fact, I say, yes, sir. That's
right.
About
the coach says, did I ask you to think? What were you doing? Answer me. Yes, sir. Did I say answer me? I think so. I'm not sure. That whole mindset is gone nowadays. About gleaning and listening and trusting, that kind of relationship.
We have courses on speaking. We don't have any on listening. And we don't know how to take instructions very well.
True.
And a lot of people, I'm sorry, I'm getting hoarse, are not coachable.
Mm-hmm.
They can't. They have ability,
mm-hmm.
but they're not coachable. There are a lot of great players that don't make the team because they're not coachable.
So if you're not teachable, you're not reachable. You know, I've had that, like, no matter what you do, they're like, why don't you help me? He's like, I tried helping you, but you didn't listen to anything I was saying.
Well,
how do you work with that?
Narcissism doesn't produce teachableness.
No.
And we live in a society that's a lot more interested in affirmation than it is instruction and discipline. And when you affirm in ignorance, you're making a mistake.
Yeah, we affirm it.
And my parents didn't know anything about self-esteem. They didn't grow up in that culture, and therefore I didn't get much of it.
Right.
But they loved me enough to tell me the truth and deal with me.
Yeah.
And now love means you just affirm.
Yeah.
And that's not biblical. I mean, if you look at the scripture, God doesn't just affirm.
He doesn't. Whether you agree with it or not, he doesn't just affirm.
He instructs.
Yeah.
And he believes he's God. He believes he has the right.
Go figure, right?
To tell you what you ought to be doing.
And the church, church is about him.
Right. Actually. And if you're smart, you listen to it.
Right. Oh, yes. If you don't the first time, within the next 40 years, you will listen.
You will listen. I mean, you know, who has known the mind of God? He created the galaxies. I was looking at a picture that the Hubble telescope had taken of the universes and the galaxies,
mm-hmm.
and I thought for a moment, maybe I'm looking into the brain of God.
Yeah. I had to shake that off. I just said the same thing. I'm like, oh, it looks like neurons. Oh my gosh, it looks like this. Oh my
right,
God, don't look,
right,
don't think about
right.
it. What if we are a thought in the mind of God? Go ahead.
Here's another thing.
Okay.
There are two official timekeepers on the earth. One is in England, and one is in the Rocky Mountains. They don't keep the same time. The one in England is 80 feet above sea level.
Mm-hmm.
The one in the Rockies is several thousand feet above sea level. And the one in the Rockies is just a millisecond slower mm-hmm. in its time than the one in England, which means the higher up you go, the more time slows down.
Or getting deep. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you could take, theoretically, twins, mm-hmm. send one to a distant galaxy, and bring him back, and he would be a year and a half younger than his twin. Now, what's fascinating to me about, and that's scientifically true.
We need to take a trip. I need some energy.
Well, time slows down as you go further away, and could there be a place where there is no time? Now,
we exist inside of time, but that exists inside of God's.
He's eternal. There is no time.
Right.
Eternity is not a long time. So I'm talking to somebody who mm-hmm. sees the end from the beginning.
Right.
It's timeless. And I'm living in time, and I'm telling him what I should be doing.
Yeah, right.
Or what's right and wrong.
Right. Yeah, right. Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
No.
But
he's going to fold this whole puppy up, too, when it's all done. Can you imagine the folding up of the universe and just like...
And there'll be no time.
I always look at Elon Musk with his rockets. He's kind of like going up the throne leg of God's throne. It's a little buzzing like an ant up there. It's like he has no idea. It's like... how big, he's trying to find something outside of God. And it's like, he's going to discover God in the midst of all this passion that he has to it's amazing. It's just amazing.
Yeah. Perspective is everything. And from here where we are, our perspective is very limited. We see just a little bit. The further we get away from it, like the astronauts,
mm-hmm.
it always makes an impact on them when they look back at the Earth. It changes their perspective.
Yes.
The further spiritually we're removed from circumstance, the more we see clearly.
Mm. That's good. That first shot of the moon from the
Yeah. It was beautiful. And they quoted God. They quoted scripture during that. Go figure, right?
Yeah.
Well, what did you mean, and you wrote in your book, says, you know, what did you mean about the relevance is a large issue in today's church? In pursuit of relevance, many groups have sacrificed integrity in the presentation of the gospel. The failure lies in relating to individuals on a consumer basis rather than a mission basis. I mean, how do you, because I see that, I see consumerism, you're trying to meet the needs of the customer versus.
Sure.
Talk about those two things, consumer and mission.
Well, I would say that my primary task is to obey God and to represent the gospel and the truth to the best of my ability. That's my primary task. Mm-hmm. Now, if I'm dealing with somebody, I have to try to make it as clear and understandable as possible. You could call that relevance.
Right, right, right.
But if I compromise the truth to make it palatable, now that's a different thing.
Yeah.
So I can be relevant. I can take the message that Jesus is the Son of God, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross and raised again. I can take that message to them, and I can try to make it as simple as possible as long as I don't compromise the message. But if I leave out the gory parts to make it palatable,
the blood, the cross,
then I've disobeyed God. I've betrayed my calling.
Mm.
And I think there's always a tension between integrity and relevance. Every relationship begins with a compromise because you start out, you want to keep your integrity, but you want to relate to the person and not offend them or hurt them. That's okay. But if I become something else in order to be palatable to them, then I have betrayed who I am, and ultimately I'll betray them too because they'll find out.
So Paul said, I became all things to all people that I might win a few.
Right.
He never left.
He didn't change the gospel.
He didn't change the gospel.
No, he didn't. And he, you know, he's a great illustration of the very question you're asking. He kept the truth till he was beheaded.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I hate to interrupt this, but guess what? We're going to continue this interview on the next program. Make sure you join us tomorrow for the next part of this amazing interview. We're not going to stop till this interview is completely shown to you.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.